This is the lesson of Sleepy Boy.
Oh, here comes Chuck.
Man, he looks terrible.
I lost my head.
What happened?
I was tired and not thinking clearly when I took out my auto loan.
Man, you gotta be careful or you're gonna pay too much. There's interest rates you gotta
pay. I know!
Man, y'all need to chill out. We got the dogs barking and everything.
Well, he needs to get his head back.
He needs R&B Car Company.
RBCarCompany.com.
Hey, what's up, Chuck?
This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Merry Christmas to you and yours from everyone at News Now Warsaw and associated with Warsaw Tiger Sports. Last night, the boys got a big road win in the conference, starting the year in the NLC with a 67-48 win at Wawasee. We'll talk with Matt Moore about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, Northwood beat Plymouth 68-61. So the conference standings at the moment, Warsaw, Northwood, Concord, who beat Mishawaka on Thursday. Warsaw, Northwood, Concord, all 1-0. Northridge and Goshen will play tonight. Plymouth is 0-1, so is Wawasee, and so is Mishawaka. Some of the other boys' scores from last night. Warsaw will play Carroll this afternoon. JV game starts at 4. Carroll's varsity lost at Fort Wayne Wayne last night, 61-46. They're now 3-3. Tippecanoe Valley beat Peru, 58-41. Whitco beat Cass, 40-37. And Triton beat Winamac, 61-38. In girls' basketball in the conference last night, Northridge beat Goshen, 62-17. There are three games on the conference schedule today. Concord's at Mishawaka at 2:30. Plymouth is at Northwood at 7:45. And the Lady Tigers welcome in Wawasee to the Tiger Den. And again, that game is the third of the three-game trifecta at the Tiger Den today. We are telling people 7:30, but it could be earlier than that or it could be later than that. So we're encouraging you just to get to the Tiger Den, watch the boys' game, stay for the girls' game. Boys games start with the JV at 4 o'clock. Varsity follows that. And then the girls take on Wawasee in the conference after that, somewhere between 7:15 and 7:45. Looking at the conference standings for the girls at the moment, Northridge is 3-0, a half game ahead of Warsaw, who's 2-0. And then everybody else has a loss. Northwood is 2-1. Wawasee is 2-1. Plymouth is 1-1. Mishawaka is 0-1. And Goshen and Concord are 0-3. The Lady Tigers picked up a big win on Tuesday night, winning at Columbia City. We'll talk with Lenny Krebs about that. Coming up next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Your local auto owner's insurance agency is the W.R. Hall Insurance Group. Hi, this is Mike Hall. My family's 100 plus years in business are more than just a milestone. We've been building trust for over a century by serving the needs of local clients to the best of our abilities. We offer the best quality service that comes with the experience and industry insight by providing home, auto, business, farm, and life insurance. Let us at W.R. Hall Insurance Group find out if auto owner's insurance makes sense for you. Simple, human sense.
Crossroads Bank checking accounts have the bells and whistles you've come to expect. Free debit card with free access to MoneyPass network, free mobile banking with mobile deposit, free e-statements, free bill pay, and more. Check it out at crossroadsbanking.com. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Where your bank and your life meet, Crossroads Bank.
Bad wreck, bad wreck. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do? Call the boys in blue. Car stalls won't start. Oh, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do? Call the boys in blue. Wrecking any state and need the best rates. Take the next step, call Riker Dinep. Go with the guys who got the best tools. If you get in a wreck, they'll come and get you. Bad wreck, bad wreck. Oh, what you gonna do? Call Riker Dinep to come get you.
Remember, when you get in a wreck,
call Riker Dinep.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Cripps.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a big win for your girls on Tuesday night. There are three in this back kind of half of the season. There are three big known hurdles that you have to get over, and that was one of them, and your girls went there and won big.
No, we know we have three games that are on the road that are going to be tough for us to win. One of them was at Columbia City. We have one coming up. We have to go to Northridge and then one at Homestead. This was the first big road hurdle we had to get over. And, you know, if you go back to last year, I thought the first half of the Columbia City game last year at Warsaw for about the first 11 minutes was the best basketball I had seen us play. And Columbia City made that comeback, and we knew what we were getting into. The girls, they know what those big games are going to feel like and the pace it's going to be and the intensity and that playoff atmosphere. I'm proud of our girls and the fact that they went into a very difficult place to win and, you know, handled Columbia City's best punch in the first quarter, responded to it, and just stayed the course for 32 minutes.
That first quarter, I think, was about as exciting a first quarter as we've seen in a long, long time. It's 18-17 at the end of the first quarter. Both teams executing what they want to do on offense at a pretty high level, and both teams getting really easy shots. These are two good defensive teams. Were you surprised at how easy the points came in the first 8 minutes?
No, you've got two teams. You know, you look at our average, we're averaging 71 points a game. It's not that we're averaging 71 because we're playing bad defenses all the time. It's that we've got enough scorers that we can find ways to score. And Columbia City's got an amazing player in Addison Baxter and some kids who play their role well. Not surprised at all at the scoring. You've seen those games all year long. And we knew it was going to be an offensive slugfest somewhat. Probably a situation where whoever hit the most shots had the ball last. It could be a situation that's a team that wins. There are two offensive teams that play well on that end. So am I surprised that points came that easy in the first quarter? No, not at all. The game favors offense in so many ways, and there's so many things you can do. The kids are so much more talented. But what I am proud of is that we found ways to start shutting down their offensive firepower in the second quarter, and that's when we built a lead. Unfortunately for us, we were able to maintain our offensive output in that second quarter.
So help us with the second quarter, 17-4, and they don't score for the first almost 7.5 minutes. They get two baskets in 10 seconds for their only points of that second period. What was different?
In the first quarter, you saw us playing off a lot of man-to-man. We were going in with the impression that if Addie Baxter got 30, 35 points for the game, that we could overcome that. What we couldn't have happen is Addie Baxter get 30 or 34 points and assist on 12 other baskets during the course of the game. And so we were really locked out on shooters, locked out on other people, giving Addie Baxter more of a one-on-one opportunity against our defender, and she took advantage of that. In the second quarter, what you saw was we shifted to a zone, both a tandem 2-3 and a 1-3-1 trap. We were concerned about playing a 1-3-1 because we had just watched Columbia City play Norwell, and they had no problems with Norwell's 1-3-1. So we were a little concerned about playing that. And if you go back and watch film, we played an awful lot of 1-3-1, and that was our best defense. To me, that was a difference maker, that we started getting more aggressive defensively and making them uncomfortable in the half court.
There was a key sequence right before halftime. They get those two steals, or they get a basket, steal the inbounds, and score again. And that could have really put your team in a panic and change the momentum at least a little bit going into the halftime locker room. Talk about the last 20 seconds of the half and how your girls kind of regained control of the game.
You know, one of the things we never want is for a team to go into a huddle or go into halftime with momentum. Because you sit there in the huddle, and especially halftime, you sit there for 10 minutes and you think about the fact that they just went on a run and you're kind of stewing on that. Had a great quarter, gave up a layup, gave up a steal and another layup. At that point in time, you can start to feel the momentum shift just a little bit. We still have a lead. We're still in great shape. But that momentum balance was starting to shift. We take the ball down, push it up, and end up getting Brooke Zartman with a floater from the baseline just before the buzzer. That gave us the momentum, in my mind. That shifted that momentum back to us. And now it's not Warsaw going in the locker room thinking about that run, it's Columbia City going to the locker room thinking about the fact that they just got outscored 17-4 and have no momentum at that point in time. And to me, that was just a huge, huge momentum shift again right before halftime.
How is that moment different than the first quarter of the Valparaiso game when Valparaiso ran out to a great big lead right at the start and your girls had to fight their way back over the middle two quarters to get back even in the game and then eventually take the lead? It went to overtime. You guys won. How was their reaction in the first quarter of the Valpo game different than how they handled the second quarter of the Columbia City game?
You know, a lot of this comes down to the message that the coaching staff and the players are going to send to each other and send to their Valpo went on a 19-3 run. At that point in time, you just start preaching, stay the course. Just stay the course. We're good enough over 32 minutes. And you try to send the message that they need to hear at that point of time. And that's the time that they need to hear, stay the course. And we felt like the girls did a great job of staying the course at Valpo, just playing the next 24 minutes plus overtime the way it needed to be played, because we know we're good enough that we are also going to go on a run. If it's enough to get that 19-3 deficit down to where it needs to be, don't know. But that's the message we're going to preach. On the flip side, you handle that run and, once again, stay the course. But we need to stay aggressive. We need to keep. And what Columbia City is saying at that point in time, I don't know. That's a question you have to ask Coach Shearer. But when we know that we have that run going, you see our kids play with so much confidence and you see that energy. And at that point in time is when we, once again, remind them, stay the course. We've got 16 more minutes. They're a dangerous team. And I think at that point in time, you can also probably be a little bit harder on them than you are when you're down 19-3. They need to hear that encouragement. Is almost, you have to flip the message that they need, you think they need to hear at the moment. And that's backwards.
Yeah, it is. Second half of that game, you're up 14. Columbia City hits a couple of baskets right away to start the third quarter. They get it down to 10. Eventually, it ends up being 9, and Columbia City's got the ball. You guys get a steal and a score, and from there, it was about maintenance. What does that say about your team and their maturity level and how far they've come over the last calendar year?
You know, you go back to the third quarter, we missed a couple point-blank shots, 4 or 5 straight shots that could have made that 14-point lead 20-plus. We just missed them. That happens in the game of basketball. They go down, they cut it, and you can once again start to feel that momentum starting to teeter, to shift a little bit, but we always had an answer to any time they scored. They'd get it down to 9. It seemed like the momentum was shifting. We were going to be in for a one-possession game soon. All of a sudden, we'd hit a big shot. That is the maturity from, in my mind, my opinion, last year's schedule, going to Westfield, going to Ben Davis, going to Center Grove and playing Brownsburg and Jeffersonville, going to the sectional game and losing in that situation. The maturity level of this group has just taken off. They understand the game. They understand what we want. We're also in a situation where we're able to practice those situations a lot more during practice. We put them in a situation, here's what's happening, how do we respond? And they're intelligent basketball players. They live and breathe this game. They know what to do. And I think if we have a downfall, it's probably their strong belief that they can shift that momentum themselves. And that's what you saw last year. And what you're seeing this year is a complete connection in relationships and trust with each other in those situations where another team goes on a run. And to me, that's the difference. You talk about the maturity of the individual player. I want to talk about the maturity of the relationships and the growth of those relationships together.
Brooks Zartman with a really big week, 31 points against Plymouth on Saturday, 15 points in the win at Columbia City on Tuesday, continuing to shoot the ball lights out from beyond three-point range. All credit to her. She's the leading scorer. She deserves all the kudos that she's getting. Brooke Winchester, 18 rebounds in the game on Tuesday night. Columbia City doesn't really have a girl to rise up to her, and Brooke took full advantage of that. And Jocelyn Bricker, a huge game at Columbia City, 26 points. But the girl I want you to talk about today is a girl who plays really well, has had a really good junior season, but doesn't get talked about a lot, and that's Alexis Neely. She is a solid, steady basketball influencer on your team.
I'm probably biased. Alexis Neely is one of the most underrated basketball players in the northern part of the state. I say that from the bottom of my heart, and I believe it. A kid who, on any other team, would probably be their leading scorer, would be their star, would be their go-to player. And she's in a situation where, fortunately and unfortunately, depending on your perspective, she's got three kids who are just as talented, if not more talented in different areas than she is. And she plays her role and plays her role well. We're talking about a kid who knows every single game she's going to be guarding the Addie Baxter, the Lily Barnes, to take on that defensive assignment. And she is hard on herself. You know, Lily Barnes got 38 points. Everybody else would look at that and go, holy cow, she got 38. She's really good. Lex Neely views that as, I wasn't very good that game. And in reality, she did her job. She did her job. She was out on an island because we took the approach that no one else is going to score. We'll let Addie or Lily get what they can get. Nobody else is getting theirs. And she's in a situation where she's guarding a Butler commit or a Power 5 Division 1 player one-on-one. She rebounds well. She's our outlet person. We ask a lot out of Lex Neely. And I think everybody that was in the NLC coaches meeting when we voted on the all-conference team knew how frustrated I was when I felt Lex Neely got cheated of an opportunity just because we had three players better than she did. She's an all-conference kid in my mind. And she didn't get that. And so this year, once again, she is playing a huge, huge role in our success. I'm just proud of that kid.
Well, we'll see tonight. This is a team that, you know, this senior class is a class they've been looking to be a team that can rebuild them back to where they used to be. They've won 10 games already this season. What do you see in Wauwatosa? And I know that, because I know you, you're nervous about this game tonight. Why are you more nervous about this game than some others?
No, I was just listening to a What Drives Winning podcast, and they were talking to UConn coach Gino, and they asked him the question, if you were guaranteed to win, how would you coach? And if you were guaranteed to lose, how would you coach? And he answered it in the reverse manner. If you're guaranteed to lose, you coach that game like you could win. If you're guaranteed to win, you coach that game like you're going to lose. And that's almost how I approach this game. Everybody expects Warsaw to win this game. Everybody expects that. Maybe except the kid sitting in that Wawa Seed locker room, and hats off to them that they believe that. And so in my mind, the pressure is on to make sure we do what we're supposed to do. And you almost get that feeling of, I need to coach this game as if we're going to lose. And the coaches would tell you, I sit in that locker room and I fret about what could they possibly do to us that could cause us to stumble or stub a toe today. What I see is a group of young ladies who, when you give them confidence and they are playing well together, they're capable of playing with anybody in the conference. They shoot the ball well. They have some people who can drive the basketball. I think Hackelman's an underrated player in our conference. I think she's a great basketball player. You know, you've got Wilkinson out there at point. They have the pieces that they need, and they're putting them together. They're 10-2. You can look at their strength of schedule and go, they haven't played anybody like Warsaw yet. I look at that schedule and go, they've done to people what they should do to people in that situation. They can't control what their opponent looks like this year. You know, you go back last year, Bethany Christian, great ball club. You look at some of those, they can't control that. All they can do is put teams on their schedule and play their schedule, and they're playing it off of, well, 10 wins. Hats off to Wabasee.
We'll see you tonight.
Yep, thank you.
Lenny Krebs of the Lady Tigers. Again, they will play. There is no JV game today because Wabasee doesn't have enough for a JV. So the order is at 4 o'clock, boys varsity, Warsaw versus Carroll. I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Boys JV at 4 o'clock versus Carroll, followed by boys varsity versus Carroll. And then the girls' game is the nightcap against Wawasee, and we'll have all three games for you here on News Now Warsaw starting at 3:55. When we come back, we talk with Matt Moore about the boys' win last night at Wawasee. That's next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Traveling, double dribble, personal foul, all bad things in basketball. Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin, and hair, all bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Kinetico, which provides clean, clear water 24/7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
Basketball is a game where your team could play man defense, zone defense, motion offense, press. You could focus on shooting threes or scoring in the post. Whatever strategy you use, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Alder for Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future.
Let Alder for Bergen be the head coach of your financial planning team. Alder for Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street, Warsaw, and online at alderforbergen.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
You see a chipped or cracked windshield. We see it repaired or replaced by specialists at our place or yours. Our glass doctor specialists use original equipment glass, special sealants, and a 28-point installation checklist. If your windshield is damaged or broken within 12 months, we'll replace the glass free. That's the Glass Doctor exclusive G12 road hazard guarantee. Visit glassdoctor.com for information on repairing or replacing your windshield.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
Oh yeah!
Do these refs need glasses? Well, we can help at Reinholt & Tolmer Eye Care Associates here in Warsaw. Hi, this is former Warsaw Tiger basketball player and current optometrist Mitch Reinholt. Our office carries the largest frame inventory in the area with styles for every taste and budget. Our expert team of staff and doctors will help you find the perfect fit. Visit us Monday through Friday and select Saturdays by appointment. See the difference today at 3301 East Center Street Extension in Warsaw. Go Tigers!
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company in Warsaw, on News Now Warsaw, continues as Roger is joined by boys basketball coach Matt Moore.
Great win last night, Coach.
Thank you, Roger.
Again,
it was.
As we talked about right after the game was over, anytime you win a conference game, you should celebrate that. But you go on the road and win a conference game, it's double that, it feels
yeah.
like.
It is, and that's the beauty of basketball in Indiana. I mean, I know there's a football game last night that involves some Indiana teams, but it's still the Hoosier State, and it's still a high school basketball state. And, you know, last night was no different, where you go on the road and you have to play well, and I thought we did in pockets. I was really proud of our resiliency, especially in that second half, to come back out and kind of set the tone with how we guarded. Yeah, really proud of the group. I think, you know, the week that we've had, we had a single game last three games to start, and then you go a single game, and then you're back at it last night with the first game since the Snyder. So Pleased with the group thus far, and we get to come back and do it again tonight.
The first game felt like a rivalry game, right? One team's better than the other, except the team that's the underdogs playing at home, fed off their home crowd, played hard, had some early success, and hung right in there.
Yeah, those are fun because I feel like it shows you kind of what you mean to the rivalry also, like that you're going to get their best. And again, I can't – they did a really nice job of – they made shots. It's not like we weren't guarding them. They were prepared. They played hard. But I do think that group that saw a chunk of the minutes did a really nice job of just wearing them down. And, we were kind of discouraged at halftime a little bit about our defense, but – you know, it glossed over the fact that we were, I think, 15 for 19 from the floor. You know, on any night, you're celebrating that. We didn't even really talk about it at halftime because we were still trying to find ways to get stops. But, yeah, I thought the energy that game brought was really important for us to kind of, you know, settle in. This next 2 weeks for us is going to be, you know, massive. And so that was a really important 32 minutes last night.
Yeah, you're going to have – it's way different than even an NBA schedule because you're going to have two games next Saturday and then you're going to have four over 2 days right after the new year. So that's six games in what, 8 days? Am I doing that right?
Yeah.
Six games in 9 days?
Yep.
That's a lot. That's a lot. And that means your guys are going to have to be prepared and you're going to have other people other than your top two or three scorers step up and do some big things.
Well, I think Maiden has really stepped into a nice role. You know, we moved him to a starting spot because we felt like the ball handling to give Carson some freedom both on the ball and off the ball. Carson's really done a terrific job this year just setting the table for everybody. And Carson's got to be able to score. And he's starting to look for that a little bit more. I'd like to see him do, take five or six shots a game. But Maiden's ability to play with and without the ball next to him, I think, has really added an element that we didn't have last year as much because then you have to put some focus on Brant and Robbie and Luke. And so Maiden's been able to score the ball at a really high percentage, and I think that's really kind of changed us a little bit. You know, we're not maybe as big as we want to be defensively, but there's just so many other things that we've been able to do offensively as we've made that shift to Maiden as the fifth starter for us.
It's been a really interesting thing to watch through the first five games of the season is that fifth starter spot, because going into the season, that was open. That was anybody's to take. It started with Jaron, who did a fine job. The numbers don't show you a lot of fancy things, but he did a good job. You have two other guys, maybe three, including Maiden, that you could put into that spot. You could change that fifth spot today and get something completely different but positive out of that spot.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a slight at Jaron at all. I think Jaron's ability, you know, I felt like early he was with us all fall. Mine was coming from a fall sport. So Jaron had the reps, and I felt like our focus was really defensively on trying to be, you know, as big and as long as we could to kind of maybe match what we did last year with Luke Jaeger. But just the offensive production in the fifth spot, I think, has kind of taken a front seat as to what we're trying to get. And Maiden's been able to be productive in that. And you're right. I feel like, you know, I don't think any of the guys have not done what they need to earn playing time. It's just, it's really hard to get on a floor with a really good team. You know, you have three guys that are three-year starters. You got, you know, a lot of skill out there. And that's what you trade off is you're trying to find – not only what allows you to win the game in the moment, but you're trying to find how you want and need to play because each guy that we can put into the third, fourth spot, fifth spot do change us a little bit. And, you know, I think that's the tricky part of finding a rhythm for us offensively and defensively to give us the best chance to be productive.
There was a moment. It's funny because the girls' game Tuesday hinged on a play right before halftime. Felt like last night's game did the same. You guys have the ball. It's at the south end of the gym. Time's running out. And Luke Bricker makes a shot that there aren't too many high school kids, Matt, can make that shot. He's starting 15 feet out on the baseline. He takes a step in, then spins and falls backwards, ends up almost out of bounds on the fly, makes that shot, and changes the whole momentum going to the halftime locker room.
Yeah, I think as you look at Luke's evolution from his freshman year to his senior year, you know, when he's, man, he was a buck 10 maybe, and you know, as a freshman, and he comes in the Huntington North game early in that year, and he hits a three the very first shot he takes, and then yes. he gets a back cut in, one from Jackson Gould. Like, the evolution of what he's been able to turn into, I think people probably still pigeon-toe him as a guy, as a shooter, but he's a scorer. Like, he can put the ball down, and I think, honestly, he is probably a harder matchup than what most people give him credit for, because he has evolved as a guy that can get to the rim. He's extremely long, and he can get his own shot. And so, you know, he's going to continue to see teams in this next month where they're going to try to physically bully him. But when you look at our percentages across the board, you know, I take a lot of pride in my teams playing with efficiency, and we try to really emphasize shot selection. And Luke is someone who has really, you know, he has some leeway just like other guys have in the past, but those guys have earned that a little bit with the time that they put in. But all in all, like, his efficiency is really high. I think he was 9-for-11 last night. You know, his 2-point field goal percentage is well over 55%. Brandt's the same way. Carson's the same way. Mydin's the same way. So I do feel like Luke gets to those pockets where, you know, Coach Rhodes and I talk about this a lot. At the end of the day, you got to give your best player the ball to make the best play. You know, at times that was Kevin Ault. At other times it was Nick Moore and Kyle Mangus. And, you know, there are pockets where it needs to be Luke Bricker now. And so that was a fantastic play by him to get his shot off. And, you know, it's just there's not a lot of things you can draw up that say, you know, go get this and make it look easy. But he did that.
And we saw a lot of good sharing of the ball last night. Carson Gould with a 40-foot pass that had a window the width of the ball to get it in down to Martin for a layup. We saw Bricker take a dribble left to get the defense to shift, and then a dribble back to the right to draw Martin's defender away from him, and he slipped the ball to him very nicely for a layup. Your kids really are executing not only at a high level, but executing in a way that everybody feels a part of it.
Well, I really feel good about it. I said this in the locker room, and the hard part, I think, sometimes is there you're at this battle at all times of, you know, wanting to add as much as you can, but whatever that availability is, you may not be able to in that moment, right? And I know more guys want to play more, and I appreciate about that about them, but we don't have selfish guys that are, you know, not doing what we want. And I think that goes to show when they play. I think Sam Lara is a fantastic, willing passer. You know, he makes the extra pass. Robbie very easily last night could have said, I'm going to try to take 15 shots. And I know he probably wanted to score more and take more shots, but he passed some shots up because that's what we need from him in that moment. And Luke did the same thing, and Brant's done the same thing. And it's on down the line. And I do feel like the group understands that. And that's a hard thing to coach guys to do, because, you know, ultimately we want to be successful ourselves, but we have to push against that because the greater good for the program and how we're trying to play and to be our best, we need to be willing to make the best basketball play, and our guys are doing that right now.
Well, the mentality that this team has, and the girls too, is I can give the ball up, and I know that eventually it'll come back to me. And that hasn't always happened on teams. And you've been around teams. You've seen that firsthand as a player and as a coach. When you know the ball is going to come back to you, you're okay with giving that ball up and letting somebody else have a crack at it.
Absolutely. I think too, like, you know, I talked to Brandt last night about that. I think, you know, he's such a good player in so many aspects of the game. And I think, like, right now he's really wants to score, and we need him to score. But what I tried to share with him was, like, when you have a singular focus and you're just hyper-focused on that one thing, you almost suffocate it, right? He is a playmaker. He is a guy that gets to the free throw line. He can draw help and assist on other guys' baskets. And when you do those things, then, like you're saying, it does come back to you. And I think that that's where all of our guys playing with the joy of, we have good dudes in our locker room.
Yes.
Like, we have really good dudes. And that was my message last night as we left the locker room, was there are teams in this state that don't get to do this with their friends. It's just a guy on the team that wears the same jersey, but when you leave, they're not together. Our guys are together, and you get to do this with people that love you, that you grew up with, and you're five games through. In 2 weeks, you're going to be 13 games through this thing.
Yeah.
And so that's not lost on us that you have to really enjoy being with people that care for you, and you get to do it with people that you love.
Road win at Wauwatosa last night, home against Carroll today to take on the Chargers. It's ironic. Two weekends in a row, you're playing a team that just played Fort Wayne Wayne on Friday and lost. And so I'm wondering your thoughts not only on playing Carroll tonight, but facing a guy in Chris Benedict that you know very, very well.
You know, it's funny. When I first got my head coaching job at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, one of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to get a picture with my three mentors. Chris Benedict, my high school coach, Jim Kessler, my college coach, and Al Rhodes, who I worked with at Logan Sport. So I have a picture in my office of the four of us. Al was in his Penn gear, Coach Benedict was in his Columbia City gear, and Coach K was in his Grace gear, and I was in my Mount Vernon gear, and we're at the OCC. And I've coached against Coach Rhodes, I've coached against Coach Kessler, and tonight I'll coach against Coach Benedict. And all of them have impacted me massively in different ways. And, you know, he's been a staple for me in the last 25 years for how I think about the game and honestly the team element of the game. And it's a fantastic hire by Carroll. He's going to make them extremely competitive very quickly. But it's honestly not about Matt Moore and Chris Benedict. It's about the Warsaw Tigers and the Carroll Chargers. And so my message to my team tonight is, you know, this is only the second opportunity we've had to beat a Homestead team and a Carroll team in the same year. We did it last year for the first time, you know. And so those two teams in the North are measuring sticks in a lot of ways because of the success they have athletically. So we're going to have our hands full because they're going to take good shots. They're going to take care of the ball. They had a tough road loss last night, and they're going to come to the Tiger Den wanting to play well. So we are going to have to really come out and kind of set the tone defensively and make it tough because they got a big kid in Paxton Crane who I think is a really good post player.
Yeah, he absolutely is. So give us the rest of the scouting report on the Chargers.
You know, I think for them, they're trying to figure out their guard play. You look across the Fort Wayne area, they've got two of their former players at Fort Wayne Lures. They got a kid at Leo. They got a kid at Blackhawk Christian. So, you know, the absence of those guys obviously changed their team offensively a lot. But the guys that they do have don't have a lot of experience, but they also play a style of basketball that they're not going to try to get overwhelmed with trying to do too much. You know, very much like last night against Wauwatosa, I thought they played hard, they took good shots, they lived inside their stuff. We just had a little bit more offensive firepower than they did for them to keep up. And so tonight might be the same thing. I think we're going to see some 2-2-1 press. They're going to take care of the ball, get multiple sides of the floor. They're going to throw a couple guys at us. But at the end, we've got to do a really good job. And it's the first time this year, Roger, that we're going to have to guard a post player. You know, as we look at the games coming up, we're going to have Northwood's got a post player. Northridge has a post player. Jeffersonville has a post player. We got some teams coming on our schedule where we're going to have to figure out that matchup in particular. So tonight's kind of that first challenge for us of how can we guard a basket area guy.
And how do you see yourself doing that?
You know, I think that's where the benefit of our depth is going to come into play. We're still going to play zone. We've got some things there that we're going to continue to work on and try to iron out with how I think they're going to try to attack us. I think then when we play man-to-man, we've got certain matchups that we'd like to see. You know, Drew Sullivan's a guy that, as we're trying to get him back in the mix and see how he fits, Jaron and Reed are two guys that we have bodies that we can throw at people as well. So I think we have some versatility there, but I think we've got to do a great job of just making it difficult for their guards to get rhythm as they play offense.
And real quick, I want to throw this out there too. The JV got their first win last night, and it was a really cool moment because a kid who has worked really hard to be in your program got a chance to play and got a chance to score.
Big time, man. Yeah, I mean, like the last 3 years we've had our managers have tried out. And our last 3 years, our managers have not made the team, but they've stayed on as our managers. And I think that says a lot about kind of what we're trying to do and who they are wanting to be a part of it. It says a lot about our guys, that they want to be around those guys. And Wes Martin tried out this year, and as a junior, he was able to make the JV team. And it was just a really cool moment when we told him that he'd earned that opportunity. And And he's been living in the gym. He's a basketball junkie, and he had a chance last night to get in the game, and he hit a free throw, and our guys celebrated that. And so, yeah, just really happy for that group. It's hard. I think sometimes you put a lot of pressure on yourselves, and you have all this exterior pressure to perform and do it at certain levels, and you know your practices are never in sync because guys are over there, and you're always at the mercy of what the varsity wants. And so it's hard being a JV guy, man. Like, I've said this before, like, three people really care about the outcome. It's like two moms, a grandma, and maybe the coach, and let's get to the varsity game. But that doesn't mean that they're not putting in the work. And I think that's the thing I've been impressed with this group is they have improved. They have gotten better, and they're trying to figure out how to win together. And last night, Wes got to be part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. We will see you this afternoon.
Hey, thank you.
Matt Moore of the Warsaw Boys team. Again, JV coverage begins at 3:55. The JV game starts at 4 against Carroll. JV and then the varsity against Carroll, and then the girls game against Wawasee will follow that. We'll have all three games coming up for you again starting at 3:55 on News Now Warsaw. When we come back, the Tiger Sports Diary. Wrestling for the girls wrapped up their regular season already. We'll talk about that coming up next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
When you need new furniture, head to Brower's Furniture and Flooring in Warsaw. Brower's huge showroom features beautiful sofas, love seats, sectionals, and recliners that will bring a whole new level of comfort and style to your home. Not sleeping well? Check out the full line of premium mattresses at Brower's and add an adjustable base for the ultimate great night's sleep. Hurry in today to 3333 East Center Street in Warsaw. Brower's Furniture and Flooring. It's the name to know and the place to go.
This is Blake from Flotec Plumbing and Heating, and my wish for you this Christmas and holiday season is that you don't need us this month. However, if you need us, we're here for you. Hot water tank springs a leak, toilets backed up, or the furnace won't kick on. We're here for you at Flotec 24/7. As a Bryant factory authorized dealer, we pledge to do whatever it takes to serve you best. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Flotec Plumbing and Heating. Go with the flow with Flotec Plumbing and Heating. Online at flotecph.com.
As one of the leading estate sales companies in the area, Metzger Property Services has decades of communal experience between their qualified real estate agents. Metzger lists and sells all types of real estate at auction or private sale. Whether it's agricultural, residential, commercial, or developmental, there is an agent with the experience you need working for you. For sales or acquisitions, private or auction, give them a call and find out the many benefits of buying or selling real estate at auction. Metzger Property Services, expanding your horizon, generation after generation.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, continues with a look at the scores and schedules for all the teams at Warsaw Community High School. It's Tiger Sports Diary on News Now Warsaw.
Let's start with wrestling as they make the turn toward the end of their season, especially the girls team. We'll tell you more details about that in a second. The boys wrestling team went to Northridge last Saturday and went 3-2 in the annual Raider Duels. They got a big conference win against Northwood to start the day, 45-35. They got pins in the first three matches and six total pins in that dual competition. They came back and took on Homestead's number two squad in the second round, and they had a run of seven straight pins, won three other matches by Tech Falls to secure a 57-20 win. Tigers picked up their first loss of the day against Northridge, 53-21. Then in the fourth round, they took on LaVille, beat them 68-6, and the only time they didn't win was a forfeit loss. Warsaw was not able to fill one of the spots. And then Warsaw entered the final round with three forfeits in the lineup. It was a long day, a lot of injuries, attrition, as Chris Huber put it. Attrition took its toll. Shorthanded Tigers fought hard against Fort Wayne Snyder, lost to them 44-33. Freshman at 165, Xander Moore went 5-0 for the day. Four of those win by pin. Gabe Veit at 126, Enrique Silva at 150, Cameron Kaufman at 285, all went 4-1. That put the Tigers at 12-5 and 4-2 in the NLC. The JV boys wrestling team, a big group of them, went to the Plymouth JV Invitational last Saturday. They had 26 kids participate, 22 of them made the placing, so that was great, including Nolan Stump, Nick Rautenberg, Carter Coffin, Chris Figueroa-Torres, Matthew Flores-Ortega, and Christian Cullors, who all went undefeated on the day. Second place finishes for Juden Garza, who went 2-1. So did Eli Sanchez, Jorge Mejia, Lucas Kimball, Bauer Willig, and Corbin Owen Corbin, and then Anthony Mejia finished 1-1 for the day. Both the boys and girls went to Rochester on Wednesday night. Coach Huber notes that it was a very unique setup. They had a huge crowd because all the boys and girls were in the same place wrestling. So that was really cool. The Lady Tigers went into the night. They were shorthanded, but still picked up wins over the host Zebras and Glenn. They beat Rochester 42-18 and Glenn 36-15. Five girls went 2-0. Mariana Castro picked up wins in both of her matches and both by pin. Christina Columbe and Natalie Davis had one pin each as part of their undefeated nights. And Kenny Yoder and Kaya Long went 2-0. Paloma Cervantes, 1-1 with a pin. Emma DeWalt and Clarice Avila also went 1-1 on the night. The girls closed out their inaugural dual meet season with a 3-3 record. The boys picked up a win over the Zebras, battling back from a slow start to win 51-27. Rochester won the first three matches, and they were up 16-0. Then the Tigers' first win came with Cam Kaufman at 285, battling back from down 8-2 to get a 10-9 decision. After collecting wins by forfeit at 106, 113, and 120, Warsaw found themselves in the lead 21-16. Tigers would never look back from there, won five of the last seven matches for them by pin. Gabe Veit at 126, Alex Viejo at 138, Leo Castro at 144. They picked up another win at 150 by forfeit and scored their final team points with a pin at 157 from Danny Moon. And the boys were winners there and are now 13-5 on their season. And then ended a very unfortunate situation because of football going deep. They had to reschedule the Mishawaka match, and that was Thursday. So after they had wrestled on the road at Rochester, they had to come back and take the number 10 team on in at Mishawaka in the Tiger Den, lost at home 64-16. They picked up just three wins on Thursday night. Enrique Silva at 150, Cameron Kaufman at 285, Casey Smith by a major decision at 132. They had a full slate of JV matches. Nicholas Rautenberg was a winner at 150, and Carter Coffin picked up a win by a major decision at 157. That left the Tigers, as they stand right now, 13-6 overall, 4-3 in the NLC. Busy week for the swim team also. Last Saturday, they took on Goshen, both the girls and the boys. In the girls' 200 medley relay, Brooke Shimasaki, Sydney McCammon, Ava Stevens, and Matilda Granger finished first with a time of 206.15. Warsaw also won the boys' 200 medley relay with Diego Manwaring, Griffin Brown, Michael Webster, and Matthias Nabilla. In the 200 free, Warsaw went 1-2 there with Gibson Claxton winning in a time of 218.36 and Veronica Smith finishing in second. In the boys' 200 free, Kaylin Swinehart won with a time of 156.96 and Jonah Potter was second. In the girls' 200 IM, Sydney McCammon was first at 236.97, and Lucy Ray was third. In the boys' 200 IM, Josh Warner won that race with a time of 212.77. In the girls' 50 free, Matilda Granger won with a time of 27.01. And in the boys' 50 free, Diego Manwaring was first at 23.02. And Warsaw swept the top three spots. Ethan Farrar was second, and Matthias Davila finished in third. In the girls' 100 butterfly, Brooke Shimasaki, who's become really good at this event, 108.95. She finished in first place. Diego Manwaring won the boys' race in 101.29, and Jonah Potter came in third. In the girls' 100 freestyle, Anna Stevens won the race in 56.42, and Matilda Granger came in second. In the boys' 100 free, it was Griffin Brown first at 50.58, 3 seconds ahead of Ethan Farrar, who was second. In the girls' 500 free, Sydney McCammon won the race in a time of 606.03. Kaylin Swinehart won the boys' 500 free in 523.37. Brady James was third in that race. In the girls' 200 freestyle relay, Warsaw's team of Matilda Granger, Veronica Smith, Gibson Claxton, and Anna Stevens won the race in a time of 152.50. For the boys, the team of Ethan Farrar, Michael Webster, Jonah Potter, and Kalen Swinehart won in 138.66. And the girls' 100 backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki was first in 108.53, and Claire Corson was second. In the boys' 100 backstroke, Griffin Brown was first, and Josh Warner was second. In the girls' 100 breaststroke, Anna Stevens won in a time of 115.14, and Haley Strange came in third. In the boys' 100 breaststroke, Michael Webster won in 104.58, and Brady James was third. In the 400 relay for the girls, Brooke Shimasaki, Veronica Smith, Gibson Claxton, and Sydney McCammon won the race in a time of 412.27. And for the boys, they won two at 332.51. Kalen Swinehart was first. Diego Manwaring was second. Josh Warner was third. And Griffin Brown was in fourth position in that race for the Tiger Relay team. Final team scores. Warsaw was a winner over Goshen for the girls, 125-60. And for the boys, Warsaw beat Goshen 126-60. Then the girls took on Plymouth, and the boys also took on Plymouth, and that was on Monday night. In the 200 medley relay, we had a unique situation. We had a tie. Warsaw and Plymouth, each with a relay team that finished at 202.56, so they split the points, so 6 points for each relay. For the boys, no splitting there. Jonah Potter, Ethan Farrar, Michael Webster, Diego Manwaring won the race with a time of 148.59. In the girls' 200 free race, it was Elisa Estes second and Claire Corson third. In the boys' 200 free, it was Griffin Brown first and Josh Warner second, followed by Brady James in third. In the 200 IM for the girls, Matilda Granger second, Haley Strange third. For the boys, they took the top three spots. Jonah Potter first in a time of 222.28. Matthias Tabia was second, and Philip Boston came in third. In the girls' 50 free, Anna Stevens won with a time of 25.78. Veronica Smith was third. For the boys, Diego Manwaring won the race in 23.2, and Ethan Farrar was third. In the diving competition, Sophia Stewart won with a score of 206.05. For the boys, Ian Parrott won with a diving score of 305.6. In the girls' butterfly, Brooke Shimasaki was first with a time of 107.61, and Elisa Estes was third. In the boys' butterfly, Griffin Brown was first with a time of 55.12, and Warsaw swept the top three spots. Kalen Swinehart was second, and Cole Parrott finished in third. In the girls' 100 free, Sydney McCammon was third. In the boys' 100 free, Josh Warner was second, and Matthias Tabia was third. In the girls' 500 free, Warsaw went 1-2-3 with Matilda Granger 605.60, followed by Sydney McCammon and Gibson Claxton. In the boys' 500 free, Warsaw swept that too. Jonah Potter first, the sophomore with a time of 542.47, Grayson Waldo second, and Cole Parrott third. In the girls' 200 free relay, Warsaw's team of Anna Stevens, Sydney McCammon, Elisa Estes, and Haley Strange won in a time of 152.94. And the boys' 200 free relay, Griffin Brown, Kalen Swinehart, Josh Warner, and Matthias Nabia won with a time of 135.97. In the girls' backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki won the race in 107.42, and Claire Corson was third. Warsaw swept the backstroke with Diego Manwaring winning with a time of 1:07. Ethan Farrar was second, and Philip Boston came in third. In the girls' breaststroke, Anna Stevens won in a time of 113.35. Haley Strange came in third. In the boys' 100 breaststroke, Kalen Swinehart was first at 103.58, followed by Michael Webster and Grayson Waldo. In the girls' 400 free relay, the team of Veronica Smith, Sydney McCammon, Brooke Shimasaki, and Matilda Granger won the race in 408.64. And the boys also won the 400 free relay with Jonah Potter, Brady James, Cole Parrott, and Matthias Tabia winning in a time of 342.43. The JV girls basketball team beat Plymouth last Saturday 49-22, and they beat Columbia City on Tuesday 51-39. They're now 11-1 on the season. The JV boys basketball game with their win last night 53-42 over Wauwatosa gets their first win of the season. Sam McDaniel led the way with 16. The freshman girls beat Columbia City over in the auxiliary gym in Columbia City on Tuesday, 33-23. And they also played Norwell at home on Thursday and lost to them, 53-49. The freshman boys lost to Wauwatosa on Thursday night, 33-29. Rogan Bailey and Landon Kralis finished with 8 points apiece. Looking at the schedule for today, and it's a busy one, the girls wrestling team wraps up their regular season on the road at the Lady Cougar Invite at Central Noble. That's already underway. 11 schools are at the high school right now for the Warsaw Dive Invitational, and that starts here in just a couple of minutes. The boys freshmen and JV play Carroll in basketball at 4 o'clock at the high school with the varsity game to follow in the Tiger Den after the JV game. That will be followed by the girls' varsity game coming up in the Tiger Den. So we'll have all three games starting at 3:55 on News Now Warsaw. Again, there's no JV girls basketball game because of them not having a team. And then, of course, we hit Christmas break. Monday, swimming and diving teams hosting Columbia City at 5 o'clock on Monday. Al Smith Invitational is next Friday. The diving teams will be competing at the Homestead Holiday Invitational, and then swimming and diving also hosts Tippecanoe Valley next Saturday at the Tiger Pool. We'll take a break, come back, finish up here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
This is the lesson of Sleepy Boy.
Oh, here comes Chuck.
Man, he looks terrible.
I lost my head.
What happened?
I was tired and not thinking clearly when I took out my auto loan.
Man, you gotta be careful or you're gonna pay too much. There's interest rates you gotta
pay. I know!
Man, y'all need to chill out! We got the dogs barking and everything.
Well, he needs to get his head back.
He needs R&B Car Company.
RBCarCompany.com.
Hey, what's up, Chuck?
Experienced sports fans know how to get ready for a big game. They dress in their favorite team's colors, grab some popcorn and a drink, then find the best place to sit. And there's no better seat for a ball game than a Lazy Boy recliner. Sit back and relax as you listen to the big game on the radio. Stretch out when your team is comfortably in the lead, or rock like crazy when the action is fierce. Either way, you'll appreciate having the best seat in the house. Your Lazy Boy recliner from Reinholtz Town Square Furniture.
Find the best seat in the house at Reinholtz on the Courthouse Square in downtown Warsaw.
Hello, I'm Jay Riggin with Rock Hill Pinnock. Besides death and taxes, the only other thing that's inevitable in life is change. This coming year, we're likely to see changes in both federal and state law that will affect you. While we can't eliminate death or taxes, we can help you protect yourself and your family from future changes that will affect us all. Make sure you're getting the best advice to help you deal with your legal needs by calling Rock Hill Pinnock at 574-267-6116 for an appointment. Rock Hill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
And now for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company. Here's Roger.
Thanks for being with us today. Hope you enjoyed the program. We will not have shows the next 2 weeks, but we will be back after the new year. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you this afternoon from the Tiger Den.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger Sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com.
News and Warsaw, Warsaw, WRSW, 1480 AM and W259 BJ, 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana.